want to kind of run around a little bit and like celebrate for just a moment. We just launched this year in February. It's our very first Christmas Eve service, y'all. So exciting. Thank you for entrusting your morning to us. I know when people go to Christmas Eve service, it's usually like, traditionally, it's in the evening, and it's like a candlelight thing. But I don't know if you noticed, but the sun is up right now, and it's very bright in here. And we're just so thankful to that you trust your time with us this morning and celebrate. And so I count it a privilege today to be able to declare the gospel, beginning with his birth. That's my goal this morning, is to declare the gospel of Jesus as the scriptures have given to us, as we have known it historically, traditionally, and to let our hearts and our souls be filled. And I'm going to be filled in my heart and soul. And then I'm going to be filled with cinnamon rolls downstairs. And then I'm going to be filled watching the Eagles beat the Cowboys later. And I'm just going to be filled all day long because all my presents are wrapped, y'all. Thank you. I needed a little bit of feedback on that. Like, say it again from the back, Pastor. Let's go. You wrapped all your presents. Merry Christmas. Today, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus from the idea of the greatest save. And this is a message that I'm actually doing now for the third or fourth time in my life over the last 5 or 6 years because it's the best message. Sometimes we talk about the shepherds, the wise men, or different things like that, but I actually think it's a really, really great message to talk about the birth of Christ from the perspective of what it means for our future and what it means into our eternity and what it means for our today and our tomorrow and everything else to come. There's so many great stories that have been written about the greatest saves of all time. Now, I don't know if you guys watched the World Cup at all this past month. I watched all of the United States games, and then I think the last, like, 4, 5, or 6 games once we got into the semifinal, quarterfinal rounds, and final, of course. And the one game that stood out to me, it was so fun, it was when Morocco and Spain went to penalty kicks. Did anybody see that one? It was, like, in the elimination round. And the goalie, I'm going to certainly butcher his name, but it's Yassine Bono. Anybody know how to say that? Anybody? Yeah, okay. But yeah, he was absolutely amazing. And if you get a chance, you can go back and watch. Was there probably about 5 people in here who watched the World Cup? Great, I'm hitting a home run right now. Like, as a pastor, it's like the number one rule to make sure when you tell a story, everybody can relate to it. Right, okay, so here I am talking about sports, like classic male pastor. Okay, but if you have a chance, you go back and watch the video. And what was awesome was the Moroccan goalie, he stood at the goal line with so much confidence. And he was taunting in the language of the Spanish players that were hitting, you know, kicking the goals back towards him. And he was like on that goal line, just like looking him in the eyes, you know, doing the stare down. He's like saying, I'm sure, really nice things. Like, you look great today. I saw you out there for 120 minutes. You did awesome, but now you're not going to. Right. And but he was just like taunting. And he blocked 3 out of the 5 kicks, which is like unheard of in a World Cup penalty kick situation. It was awesome. So, okay, jokingly, I have another save story. There's this movie that came out just a little while ago on Apple TV called The Greatest Beer Run Ever. I admittedly watched it while I had COVID over Thanksgiving. And it was like this guy from New York back in the time of the era of the Vietnam War, and all of his buddies were overseas fighting, and he was just like, he felt bad for them that they weren't drinking beer. And so he filled a duffel bag full of PBR and he like flew over the Pacific to Vietnam and he just wandered through the jungles looking for his buddies delivering beer to them. And it's like this movie. Like, it wasn't a great movie, but like when the soldiers saw their buddy show up with a duffel bag full of beer, they were just like, what are you doing here? You're going to die. But then also there was like, okay, like let's do this. Many of you have heard of, speaking of war stories, the Purple Heart Award, which is a military award for extreme bravery. And there's this Marine long time ago, his name is Dwayne Dewey, who was fighting in the Korean War. And he had been injured because his platoon was ambushed. And so while he was laying on the ground, while a medic was taking care of him, during the ambush, a grenade landed in the area where he was on the ground being serviced and being, you know, taken care of or whatever. Like, the pin had been pulled, you know, it's like one of those situations. He pushed the medic off of him, rolled onto the grenade, and shrapnel, you know, just devastated the lower part of his body. Miraculously, he survived. But in addition to him surviving the horrific event of that moment, so did all of his fellow platoon mates and the medic that was involved. And so later on, when he returned home, President Dwight Eisenhower gave him, or awarded him, the Purple Heart Medal. It's pretty wild, you know, when you think about the stories of people saving others that are out there. And I was thinking about the greatest save stories of all time, and Jesus is the greatest save story that there has ever been. Amen? Say it here from the back, Pastor. You wrapped all your presents. Like, that's good. Say it. Like, we trust you. We believe you. You have credibility. I don't know. Do I have credibility because I wrapped all my presents? But, like, okay, tonight, we're talking about Jesus. As a human race, we love to tell save stories. And the Bible includes a ton of save stories. Moses rescues the nation of people, from slavery. Esther infiltrating the palace and leveraging her wit and position to save her countrymen. David defeating the giant. Ruth was saved from social poverty by Boaz. Daniel in the lion's den, saved from death. But the greatest save story of all time that exists in the Bible has been one that's been told from the very beginning all the way to the end. Hands down, is the story of Jesus. Hands down. It's the story that is deeply meaningful, widely needed, transcendently marked as and painful, but also that has produced the greatest numbers of transformed futures because of his life. It's incredible. And so, like, if there's a birthday worth celebrating, it's that one. Hands down. Amen, Pastor. Like, it's okay to give feedback. It's okay to be comfortable. It's okay to make some noise. I'm sorry we took the bells away, but, like, anyway, we love telling safe stories. Hey, there they are. That's why we celebrate Christmas so vigorously, because it's the greatest safe story that's ever been told, that has ever existed. It's the greatest one of all time. And it begins from the very beginning of time. I'm going to summarize it here for the next few minutes, and the band's going to come. We're going to close out our morning with another song. But it begins back when a time when Jesus was born in real physical time and space. Now, I know there's a lot of doubt. I know there are a lot of questions. I know there's a lot of concern in our world about the historical accuracy of the biblical story, particularly the one of Jesus being born in the manner in which he was with a virgin mother. But historically, it is accurate. Historically, we believe what the Bible says about the story of Jesus is true. Archaeologically, it has never been disproven. And yet, all the way back in the course of time, historians, archaeologists, people who have studied these things, like, yeah, Jesus was born. Yes, he did live. And there were a lot of people who were fascinated by who he was and what he was doing. We know that there were shepherds and wise men and angels involved all around the town of Bethlehem. Why do we remember it so importantly? And why is it the greatest save of all time? Take a look at the screen here just a second. I want you to remember these two phrases. You put up that first slide. There we go. These two phrases that are going to guide the next 10 minutes of our time together. Wherever there is sin, God must judge. And wherever there is sin, there is separation. Those are two statements about what sin is and the consequences or the fallout of sin that takes place. Now, here's the story, the greatest story that leads to the greatest save of all time. It's amazing. So, for Satan, from the very beginning pages of Scripture, back in the book of Genesis, it appeared that he had royally screwed up the human race. The human race that had been made by God with human beings in it, made in his image, in this perfect environment where there was love and intimacy and relationship, where everyone was walking together. Adam and Eve's sin, eventual sin, and then disobedience before God, it resulted in this crushing blow to humanity. The injustices of humanity, the rebellion against God, the wars, the famines, the disease, the enslavement, and every evil of every kind is the result of the very beginning of time when human beings disobey God. And the cascade effect of that continual disobedience and failure. And all the rebellion has caused injustice upon injustice and widened the gap between us and God. It's a problem, y'all. Say it again from the back, Pastor. You don't really give a hearty amen to that statement, right? But seriously, though, this is a problem, and our connection with God matters. So we have a problem, and our connection with God matters. Now, the human race, from generation upon generation, is in need of a great save, a deep, great save, or we might be lost forever. Genesis chapter 3, you can put this verse up on the screen for me. Verse 15, he says, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now, a little bit of context here. Way back when all of this went down and evil entered into the world, God made a promise that he would save through the most unique ways. Here's the unique way. You ready? The save would come from within people who needed saving. It's pretty awesome. Usually, when there's a war story, some hero comes from somewhere out of nowhere and saves those who need saving. But this story, this promise that was made from so long ago, generations upon generations upon generations ago, was made by God promising that someday a savior was going to come out from within the very people who needed saving. And that savior would be named Jesus. Out of the woman's offspring, a champion would come who would win the day. And so the devil knew this news. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. He knew it was going to go down hard. But he was going to wage war with God. But for God, the prize was you and me. And so the stakes were very, very high. It's an unbelievable promise when you think about it. That out from within, the very people who needed saving, God was going to send a champion, a rescuer who's going to save the human race. It's actually brilliant. This is not a story you and I could come up with. That's not a story that any human back in the course of history could have invented or made up or wrote somehow just because I want to come up with a story to just try and like gain power and influence people. That's not how it worked. But as history revealed, eventually the time came when God fulfilled his promise and the Savior was born in real physical historical time and space. It cannot be denied. Let's read it. Yeah? The Christmas story. Here we go. The time came when that promise was made from so long ago was fulfilled. Here we go. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. In verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room or lodging available for them. Verse 8, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, and let me just interject my own thoughts here, the one who from generation upon generation upon generation upon generation upon generation, say it with me, upon generation, you have been waiting for since the time God made that promise from very back at the beginning, that one has been born today in Bethlehem, city of David. There it is, the fulfillment of a promise that God had made from so long ago, from out of the human race, born of a woman, the promised one who would deal a crushing blow to the enemy of God was here in real physical time and space on earth, y'all, with people. It's beautiful. The angels appeared and confirmed it. The testimony of those who were around spoke of it. The events that led up to the birth matched what was foretold by the prophets as it was given to them from centuries before. It's beautiful how it all comes together. But we remember still, put up this next slide again. Wherever there is sin, God must judge. But wherever there is sin, there is still separation. There is still something that needed to be done. Well, the birth of Jesus was a significant moment where God fulfilled his promise that was made from so long ago, his birth into humanity. But God also promised, catch this one, God also promised he would bring justice to wherever there was injustice. He promised, and he sent the one who could do it, and his name is Jesus. God had promised to bring justice to injustice, and Jesus went to do something very specific in his body. Colossians 2, verse 14, says this, he, speaking of Jesus, say it with me, what's that word? He, what? Canceled. I love it when we participate together in church. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. When Jesus was born, he not only fulfilled a promise that God had made from long time ago, but he grew into a man, and he eventually dealt with the guilty record of all who created our problem with God in the very first place. He had to be born into a body, to later die in a body, as if he were to take your and my place. It's a beautiful story. Out from within, the very people who needed to be saved was one who was nothing like the very people. Out from within, he was born because he was unique. He was God's chosen. He was God's select. He was God's anointed. He was from heaven on earth with flesh to go to the cross to deal with the injustice of our rebellion against God and settle it and resolve it and bring it to an end so that our futures and the futures of all who would believe would be changed and different. That is the good news of the gospel story, y'all. I don't know why I keep saying y'all. I'm not from the South. It just makes sense. I say y'all when I get really excited about it. I don't know why. Where did I pick this up from? I don't know. This is one of those inward conversations that I'm having outwardly right now while I'm preaching. I'm not supposed to do, but like, this is good news. God, through Jesus, judged our sin. Judged means he made a ruling. He decided. He made a decision. A verdict has been reached. And his verdict is, my son, take care of yours and yours and yours and whoever would believe. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. That was good news, y'all. I'm just going to say it because, you know. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you and I, where? Safely home to God. Safely home. And so God dealt with the injustice of our rebellion and our disobedience towards him. And remember the separation, the gap through Christ as that injustice is dealt with, we are brought home with God. It is where you're meant to be. Y'all, it is where you're meant to stay. It is where you are meant to live, and it is where you are meant to go. But you have to believe it. Wherever there is sin, there is separation. But in Jesus, that separation is closed. Through Jesus, the separation between God and man vanishes, and we are brought home. Christmas, it's a birthday party. It's a celebration. It's a recognition of the gospel of Jesus. But Christmas is also a vibrant time of gift-giving and praise, and it reminds us in our heart and soul that the perfect gift that has ever been given in this world is the greatest gift of all time that changes our present and our future. The birth of Jesus was a plan the devil could not interrupt. Y'all, thank you. The greatest save began with the greatest plan, which required the greatest person, which resulted in the greatest reward, which is you and I. The very people God created in his image. The very people God had a purpose for and a plan for. The very people God had a relationship with and wants to be with and wants to know deeply and intimately. And there's only one way this could have been done. There's only one course of action that could have happened that could have pulled this off, and God did it. And so if you believe in Jesus, you have an eternity to look forward where there is no guilt or sorrow or pain from the present circumstances of this earth as those begin to melt away in his goodness and his presence and his healing power. Christmas reminds us of the greatest save of all time. And it's kind of worth making a big deal over. That's why we overspend our budgets. Buy too many presents. That's why we decorate. We have literally bins of Christmas decorations. St. John's, y'all. I don't know where all of this was stored We had nothing to do with it because we're just like guests in someone else's church, but they decorated all of this throughout the course of the month of December, and it's absolutely beautiful. Why? Because it's kind of worth making a big deal over. You got a tree, you got decorations, lights on your house, you got presents ready to give to your kids, your family members, your spouse, your loved ones. Like, we make a big deal out of it. It is, why? It's human to celebrate. That's why we do it. Because we're human beings and wired in us. It's in our DNA to lift up, to celebrate, to exalt, and with joy. Make a big deal out of the things that happen. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, if you've read the gospel story, he entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And they waved palm branches for him, celebrating. The king, he's coming back. This is going to happen. And they threw cloaks down so he wouldn't get his feet dirty. When there's a wedding, what do? We celebrate. We eat food and we drink wine and we take pictures and we smile and we dance. And it's just such a joyous thing. Jesus went to weddings. It's just so fun that there's a connection there. When our family members have a birthday, what do? We celebrate them. We bake them a cake and we give them presents. Why? Because it is human to celebrate. And when someone pulls off the greatest save of all time, we cheer for them. Yeah? Come on. When someone pulls off the greatest save of all time, we cheer for them. And so can we just on this Christmas lift up a shout of praise to our Jesus? Come on, why don't you stand? And we're going to sing Joy to the World.